This is an interview with Dorothy McEnroy of 25 Grieve Street, Fitzroy, on the 25th of June 2016. Dorothy, we're going to talk about your childhood today, and then next week talk about other things from, I think, when you got married. We'll see if we can cover all of that. You first arrived in Fitzroy in 1942. Tell me about that. How old were you?
I was 11
when
we got here, but I did have my 12th birthday in that year.
Right.
Yeah, we came from Geelong, but we moved to Collingwood first.
Yes.
And we lived in Cromwell Street, Victoria Parade, and then we came to Fitzroy. And
you came from the country, or was it Geelong, near Geelong?
No, I came from a little hamlet called Brimley.
Brimley.
Between Bow and Heads and Torquay.
In fact,
in those days it was called Brim Creek, not Brimley. Beautiful place.
Near the sea.
On the ocean beach.
Yes, lovely.
2 miles long and half a mile wide.
So coming to Fitzroy after that must have been quite difficult.
Didn't want to come.
No, tell me about that.
I hated it.
But your mum moved the whole family up.
Yes.
The whole family came?
Yes, six
How
of
many?
Us.
Six of you?
Six
brother.
Of us?
Yes.
My father was always missing.
During the war?
Yes.
He was
an Air Force, in the Air Force.
Right.
But he never went overseas, so he can't claim that. But... I don't know, Mum said that he was a decent bloke, but not to me.
No, but you were the eldest daughter?
I'm the eldest daughter.
Right.
I'm the second eldest.
Right. So you had an older brother.
It was Ronnie, me, Malcolm, Billy, Lillian and Colin. We call them the three big ones and the three little ones.
Yes.
Because there was a break between the three big ones and the three little ones. The three little ones have a different opinion of what happened than the three big ones.
Yes. Yes.
You know,
what happened, do you think?
They were violent.
Yes. Right, yes.
You know, and I'm fully convinced that's one of the reasons Mum left Geelong.
Right. And they moved up to Collingwood and Fitzroy because? Did she know people up there?
No. The only place she could afford.
Yes.
And then she, you know, she had six kids, still young, and I was, what, 11, 12, and she's got... four under me, and she got in with the church, and the church was our salvation.
And which church was it?
The Sisters of the Community of the Holy Name.
Right.
It was an Anglican mission.
No,
it was in Spring Street. How she got onto them, I don't know.
And they must have helped her.
Oh, did they, you know?
Yes.
She remained with them all her life, worked for the church all her life, you know. And the church was good for us, you know. It really was. The church was good for a lot of kids in the future.
Oh, yeah, yes. There were a lot of missions in that area.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And, Doc, did you go to school locally? Where did you go?
I wouldn't.
Why?
Hard to say this. Well, I was told...
Were you living in Collingwood at this point?
Yeah. Now we've come here. Yeah, I went to Cromwell Street School.
Yes.
And now I'm ready to... It would have been the last year, I think, of Statesville when we came to Fitzroy, but I wasn't going to go to George Street.
And George Wilde was more than
because
the
I knew it was the Dunn School.
The Dunn School.
Yeah, no, that's what I was told. You're not going to be there. And anyhow, and Mum let me stay at Cromwell Street. I had to go walk all the way down there. And then I went to Beer Street Girls School because I wouldn't go to Bell Street.
Right.
Because Bell Street had a bad name.
Right. And you heard these bad names from other kids?
I don't know where I heard them from, but I heard them and I wasn't going. I loved school. I really did. And he wasn't sending me to a dad school. Simple as that.
So you were doing well at school?
I was doing well at school. But unfortunately, born in a family, had no money.
Yeah.
You never went any further, but you don't know that at the time.
So you thought you might go on.
I did. I wanted to stay at school.
Yeah.
I cried when I left.
Yeah.
Had to leave.
How old were you? 14?
14.
Yeah. And you went straight to work?
Yeah, in the boot factory.
Yeah.
Like most people in Fitzroy did.
But where was the boot factory?
It was in Bud's, the first one was in Stacey's something in Hoddle Street. I was in the office doing shoe designing.
Designing shoes?
Yeah,
designing shoes.
And learning to do it, of course.
Yes.
And office work.
Yes.
And how Dad became part of this equation, I don't know. I can't remember because he wasn't living there.
So he wasn't living with you?
But he used to pop in.
Yes.
He's a strange man.
Yeah.
He'd pop in, you know, you'd love him.
So he had the gift of the
parents. Oh, did he? Yeah. good looking, the picture began, pretty heavy. And he found a job for me at the Rob Boy Shoe Factory for an extra 5 shillings a week, and I went to the knitting shoes.
And he knew that you were bringing in money for the family, was that part of it?
Fully convinced he was.
Right. And was he supporting you?
No, I don't even remember him asking for it, you know.
No.
That's why I've got no time for him.
Yeah, so your mother was doing, really keeping the show on the not of you.
Yeah.
And your eldest brother?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was at work where?
Oh, he went to the British United Shoes Company, then he went to the Rob Boy. We all worked at the Rob Boy Shoe Company at one stage. It was a good place to work at, fun. And I had a dispute there over money.
When you were 14 or?
Oh, no, now I was about 15, 16. Yeah. Had a dispute over money. I was doing the sky. I was a beater. You know what a beater is?
No.
You know, like that. But to turn it over, it's got to be skived or shaved,
right,
then cemented and then beaded down.
Yes.
Well, I was a hand beater. A better hand beater than I was in machines too. And but I was apparently quick at what I did. And I also did the perforation and I loved doing the cementing. I reckon I was high on the gas and didn't know it.
Yeah.
I really do.
Do you? Yeah.
And
so you were all working in one big space?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not at one time.
No.
Not at one time. So Ryan and I worked in the food booth at the same time. And anyhow, I was doing 4 different jobs for the same amount of money. And being a junior, I wanted more money.
Yeah, yeah. And so what did you do?
I left.
You left?
I left. He promised it to me. He did it here, and I stayed for another 2 months and still never come through, so I left.
Yeah.
I went down to Bud Street, opposite the Collingwood Tech.
Right.
What's the name of the place? The company was right on the corner of Sackford Street.
Yeah.
The longest
road. And the company was living where by then?
We're living in Argyle Street.
Argyle Street.
149 Argyle Street.
Can you describe that neighbourhood?
Oh, yes.
How
so
fashionable and...
Like, we were... So we were the last house, there was a lane, and then all the houses from the Peter Street. And it was the Peter Street back in those days.
Not the Peter.
And actually, when we came there, this little boy that lived in the corner of the Peter Street and Argyle Street on the other side, everybody's still my friends. He rings me up on my birthday.
Yeah.
That's how I know I had my birthday in there, because he's the same age as I am. But
and that was the house your mum moved you all into, a rented house. And you were all 6 of you living in the house. Yes. Can you describe the house?
Yes, yeah, I can. Two rooms upstairs, 2 front rooms and a kitchen. The back passage was made into a bedroom, and a couple of rundown sheds were made into bedrooms.
Yes.
And the 2 upstairs bedrooms were all in at the first time. Oh, I'll never forget this as long as I live. We all wake up and we'd be scratching, you know, and didn't know. And yeah, to cut a long story short, we discovered there were little things crawling around.
And on the wall?
Yeah, on the wall. On the wall. So we squashed them. Have you ever smelled a bug?
I have. They're disgusting.
Oh, you know what? I can still smell that smell. I'll never forget it as long as I lived.
And they were biting you?
Yeah, they were biting my teeth. Anyhow, Mum brought in an exterminator, and he brought it up the stairs, and we were sleeping under the kitchen table, you know, for a week while he did it.
While the fumes were,
And it cost Mum, I can't remember, but my Mum was a very resourceful woman. When he finished, Mum said, do it again. To make sure she just do it again.
Yeah. And in all the bedrooms, all the kids.
And he was the one who covered us the fact. And houses like this, you know, like a wall like that, you get rid of them, plug up, as long as there's no holes. With the board, they go at the back of the board.
Oh, right, yes.
And all the fumigating in the world, and it'll be
able
to get some of them, but then they'll come out.
And they'll come out.
So with the board, very hard. Yeah. But a bug, boom.
Yeah.
Oh, God, if it makes me sick. Yeah. But we never had a key to the house. Front door was always open.
Yeah.
Back door was always open. Yeah. Never locked.
Yeah. So you had good neighbours.
Oh, funny no.
Tell us about the neighbours.
Oh no, that's a bit rude.
No, tell us.
Well, George's name was, and I was young. I didn't know about sex or anything like that. And Madge was her name. Straight right in. She'd rotten teeth. And she had that little governor. And And George was a fat bloke. I didn't know he was a boarder. Clive was the husband, and he was away at the war.
Right.
And Madge and George were on the day.
Yeah, yeah.
Clive come home one day and caught him.
Right.
And George killed him.
In the house? Killed in the house?
Had a fight. Didn't mean to. Had a fight. and banging his head like they could, his head on the edge of the gas stove.
Wow, that's pretty interesting.
But the worst part of it, that's all, I don't know, look, I was young, very young, I can't even tell you the year, but he didn't seem to be missing for that long. He came back and lived in the house.
The husband, you
know?
No,
the husband's dead.
Oh, the husband's dead, right.
And George, he lived in the house and still cooked on his own stove. Oh, I was
so charged.
He was charged.
He was charged.
But how he got off? Yes. Must have got off on, you know, those circumstances
yes,
or whatever.
Yes,
I don't know.
Yes.
Because, well, deep down, I suppose it was an accident.
Yes.
But, you know, and all the rest.
So then he came and yeah, and there,
yeah.
Cooking off the stove.
Yeah, that's how I always found that odd. Yes. I'd have gotten rid of the stove.
Yes. Of course.
You know, but that's the only drama I can think of.
Yeah. But other people in the street looked
after
you kids,
presumably,
all of
that. No, we looked after ourselves. Mum made certain that her jobs, which is her jobs in the die caster, cleaning and whatever,
yes.
That she was there for us first in the morning. She was there when we got home.
Yes.
And she made certain that Monday we went to Girl, Tuesday we went to Girl Guys, Thursday Bible study, you know, after school that we weren't running the show.
Yeah, things to do after school, so and, you go straight from school doing various activities.
Yeah, and we all had work, sure, we all had work to do.
Yeah. What sort of work?
Yeah, I still hate ironing.
Yeah.
I'm the eldest girl, cooking and ironing, and I'm still a shopping cook.
So you come home from school, you go to Bible study or whatever,
yeah.
And you do
ironing
with your mum and after school.
Yeah. Every time there was a wood fire stove and they were going, you know, had to look after the kids' clothes and being the eldest girl. Being the eldest girl in the family is not a good position.
Not that too.
It's not a good position.
No,
my sister got away with me.
And did the boy, what sort of things did the boys have to do?
I can't remember, you know, running.
I suppose.
Yeah, well, never anything inside.
No.
Never.
Right.
You know, they did the house.
Well, George, you had a backyard.
We were very lucky. Our place had a very small backyard on account of where the toilet was. The backyard was here.
Yeah.
And the toilet was there. There was a little shed there and a shed there and then the bathroom and one in the kitchen. It was only a bit like this, but at the back of us, actually, there has been a house built on it since. And Mum used to rent that.
And what was the vacant lot?
It was a vacant block.
And she rented the vacant block?
Yeah. Well, only because then it was separate. I'm not too sure about this. It either belonged to the house, it was separate, or they separated it later.
Yeah.
Because next door's back gate was there.
Yeah.
Go down the lane, in the back gate, our back gate was there.
Yeah.
And Mum had a clothesline in there, and Malcolm had a shed in there that he did a lot of repairs for, and now it's a separate house. Mike Moore and I went to the auction, and it sold for $800,000. And you've got to go down a lane to get to it.
Yeah, but it's very
smart
now, that bit.
Yeah, so, you know.
Yeah, right, Brunswick Street. And did she grow veggies there?
No, we didn't.
She didn't grow veggies.
No.
So where did you shop? Brunswick Street?
Brunswick Street.
Yeah.
Smith Street on a Friday. Oh, Smith Street on a Friday night.
Nice.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
You'd be open till 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
And,
Everything was open.
Yeah. 9 o'clock. Yeah. And that was good. Like Friday night shopping. But Brunswick Street. But everything closed at 1 o'clock Saturday.
Yeah.
You could shoot a cannon down there on a Sunday.
Yeah. And the footy was on, of course.
We shopped at Brian's on the corner.
Yes.
And the fish shop, Con's fish shop, a couple of doors down. Oh, I tell you, best fish and chips.
Yeah.
People come for miles.
Yeah, Con agrees.
Really?
Yep.
And I tell you, she used to sit there with a dirty apron on, and if there was a blow fly there, she'd go whack with the poke.
The fans kill all that stuff, that's all right.
But nobody got sick.
No.
And it was beautiful fishing.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, my God. People are too clever today.
Yeah, they sure are.
Yeah.
So all your shopping was locally
in
Big Market, or did you?
No, we were in Spectrum there a couple of times. Didn't mind that, you know, that was fun. But no, we didn't go to Big Market much.
So Fitzroy really was where you were working? Fitzroy and Collingwood was where you were working, and where you shopped, where you did everything?
Yeah.
And did the family follow the police?
Only me.
Only you?
Yeah, only me. Ronnie Barry from Richmond, I Barry for Fitzroy, Malcolm Barry for Collingwood, Billy Barry for Carlton, Lily and Doug, whoever took her out.
Uh-huh.
And Collins Berg for Carlton, and Mum threatened to leave home if he said it.
Because he couldn't stand the bus.
Quite much. Well, he didn't, none of us stayed for Geelong.
No.
But we all called Geelong home.
And did you go back?
Every holiday.
Yes, holiday to Spring League.
Fantastic. My grandfather was the first white man to put a hut up there, and it was only a fishing shack. Oh no, we were very fortunate, very fortunate. We never roamed the streets of Fitzroy, Mum saw of that. No, every holiday, we was twice a year, we went back.
Where you could roam.
Oh yes. Yeah. And this is a good story. There was a shop in, because you realise that for some reason, I don't know what happened to other families or not, it happened to us. We never crossed over Johnson Street to do much, and we never crossed over Brunswick Street. You kept in the same area. Like, I married a bloke, the other thing, from 77. And yet, I'd been here since 1942, and I didn't know him until I was 17. I never seen him.
Now, why was that? Because he was heading in another direction.
I don't know. No. I don't know why. I can't tell you.
Tell me again. You were living in Argyle Street, yeah. Brunswick, which is very close to Brunswick, yeah. Street, where you were.
Yeah.
And you didn't go past...
No, not to socialise.
No.
We went up to go to church,
yeah,
but not to socialise.
Yeah, but your social life was...
You never went out, Oh, you went in town of the pictures and stuff like that.
Yes.
But no, you didn't say do that.
And did you have neighbours in? Did you have...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember we were the first to get TV.
Yeah.
People would come in, I'd go to
Yeah,
that's a lot later.
So your house was open, back door, front door, everyone knew you were there, you had friends in the street, and did you play with kids in the street?
Oh yeah. We had a tennis court painted.
A tennis court painted in our garden?
Yeah. And we used to run up and then we played the Olympic Games running up there, and we didn't know it was Olympic Games. Play chasing and whatever, and bike races.
Because
the Peter Street was a pretty wide street, and no traffic. And we
had no traffic at all.
Who had cars?
Yeah, no one would have had cars.
No one had cars.
The delivery vans, I suppose.
Yeah, that's the kind of footy up and down the Peter Street. The tennis court was in Argyle Street.
And it was permanently painted on.
Yeah, it was permanent. They were like a blue dark blue.
So, did you have a nest?
No. Who could afford a nest?
But you had some kind of racket. What did you use?
Oh, I can't remember. No, not real tennis. They were wooden. More like a...
Backstanding.
More like
that. Like tennis.
And we played cricket a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we'd go to the bars a lot.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Go to the bars.
Tell me about going to the bars. That's
pretty
wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
You could hang out at the bars with your friends.
All day.
Yeah.
You did, actually, you know. And right next door to the bars, if I remember correctly, it's a place before it became an old ladies' home, an old landman's home. It used to be like a clinic that he had fleas in the head they sent him there to get rid of.
Right, yes. And near the bar.
And the swamp, have you heard about the swamp?
Tell me about the swamp.
You know the reserve?
Yes. That's near the bar, yes.
Used to be called the swamp.
I didn't know it was called the swamp. Because it was very soggy now, yeah.
The swamp. And the boys stay down there and play football. I spent a lot of time there in the swamp, a lot of time.
Was it the same sort of site that is now?
Yeah. Well, it's a long time since I've been there now.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it was a whole big now.
Yeah, big.
So they've kept that. Yeah. Yeah. No, the swamp. It's called the swamp for you. I thought it was still called the swamp. What's the name called?
I think I don't know
if you've
been given the name of a councillor,
probably. Fitzroy Bars. It's got a little bit safe in it. The diving board's gone.
Oh, the big diving board. I remember that too.
Yes.
It's all about safety now.
Yeah, the boys used to have a lot of fun. Nobody got killed.
Yeah. Bombing and doing all that good stuff, yeah. But spending all day baking there.
We used to sit watch the show ponies just come out, jump up and down if nobody's watching them. They'd go back and wait. And they'd come out and say, I'll fall off.
You shout at them.
Yeah, fall off.
That's when you were at school.
Yeah.
When you were working, of course, you couldn't do that stuff. No. You weren't working at the weekend, so did you go?
No, I sort of stopped. And I don't really know why. Probably had other things to do.
Yeah. And you're a teenager.
Yeah.
Going off to work, which was quite a big deal. Your own money.
Yes, I got 12 and 6 a week in my first job.
And what did you do with it?
I gave Mum 10 shillings.
Yes.
And I had 2 and 6
yes.
for the week.
Yes.
And, you know, but Mum kept me, clothed me. I was 20, but she...
She went on clothing you after you went to work?
For a while, yeah. She did, yes. But she, we, all our clothes, Mum used to go to this, the mission, to go to my mother's club, whatever.
The mission was where?
It was in Spring Street.
Yes.
Then it moved to the corner of Fitzroy Street and just down from Gertrude Street. I was there for many, many years. The sisters of the charity is I went home there, lovely sisters. Anyhow, once a month at the night days, Mum used to take the colours up and she used to come home with full clothes. Yeah, that's how her coat.
Yeah.
But she would come home with a little gift.
Yeah.
And God, she loved that. But my best dresses cost Mum a penny.
Yeah.
That's what I swore of black and blue when I started work. I would never, ever wear anything second-hand
again. Ever again.
You took me, these girls were talking.
Everything was second-hand.
Oh, yeah. But you had nothing. No, you couldn't afford it.
No, how could she possibly with six kids and...
You know, you couldn't afford it.
Yeah, yeah.
She did it. Mum did a great job. She wasted her life on us kids and we didn't know it. You know
what I mean? What do you mean she wasted her life?
Well, she was an attractive woman.
Yeah.
I don't remember her going.
She didn't marry to you, Dad. She didn't have a divorce.
Oh, but the church got a divorce. See? And then later on, I was a teenager because I had to go to court.
Oh, tell me about that.
Oh, yeah, I had to go to court because I was the only one that could remember how long Dad had been gone for.
Right. Well, oh, he disappeared on you.
Yeah. And how long they hadn't been living together.
Yes.
And you had to have proof in those days.
Yes.
And I was the only one that could remember.
Yes.
For Mum to get some sort of substance.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. So she got a divorce and then got a single... A pension.
Got some sort of, not a pension,
whatever,
it wasn't much, but it was something that could help,
yes.
You know,
yes.
And
the church helped to get that.
Yeah, yes. Mum, they suggested to yes. do
yes.
this,
yes.
And I look back now and I think, here's an attractive woman, yes. Six kids, and never complained, could have, mm-hmm. I don't remember, and I can remember, I had an aunt, great aunt Jane.
Was she your mum's sister?
No, Nana's sister.
Right.
Nana was the eldest and great aunt G.
Were they down at Springleaf?
No, good heavens, no.
Oh, her brothers, so the other side of the family.
Yeah, no. You had to call her great aunt Jane too. The others don't remember, she never came very often. And we were living in Collingwood at the time, and I was playing at the front. My fellow, I got hurt my leg, I don't know. And I was crying, and Mum was attending to me. And she, great aunt Jane was saying, oh, you know, pick yourself up, dust yourself off type of thing, blah, blah, blah. And Mum turned around and said to her, great aunt Jane, oh, good aunt Jane, she called her aunt Jane. Aunt Jane, she said, this is Dorothy, she said, I don't care about the others at the moment. This is Dorothy, she said, and I will attend to Dorothy, she said.
Great,
and I've never forgotten that.
No, wonderful. Yeah. So she was there for you. Yes.
And it's the same in the family. And this is my
That's good. It's gone right.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And they lived in Box Hill somewhere.
Right. And they come and visit every now and then.
Mum said so often.
Yeah. To check on you.
No.
To help you?
I don't know. I think the Lord over is the time.
They didn't bring things
to you. No, I do not ever remember them coming with anything.
No, gosh, yeah.
I can remember them sitting at the table, and it was Sunday night's tea, and here's Malcolm, we finished, he's heading me, and here's Malcolm eating, and Mum's gone, you know, this off. In the end, he couldn't stand it.
But he had lots of giggles.
No, he was eating something he didn't like. And what it was, the fruit salad he had, for some reason he put mayonnaise on it thinking it was cream.
How disgusting.
Yeah.
Yes, so he managed to spit it out.
Yeah. Must have grown James Delight, you know. What was her husband's name? Strange name. Possibly it'll come in.
Did they come to you at Christmas or anything like that? So no.
Oh, Christmas time?
Yes, yeah, not so no.
Oh, best time of our day.
Yes.
You heard of Dr. Singleton?
Yes, I have. Yes.
Right. Well, Dr. Singleton used to have, at the back of Dr. Singleton's was this Methodist place, church. And to get to, they used to have a free breakfast, and every Sunday, and we used to go to the free breakfast. But we had to go to our own church as well.
Yes.
So we went to church twice that day. But if you didn't go to the free breakfast, you couldn't go to their Christmas party. So we went to the free breakfast.
Yes.
And the Christmas party. Do you know what? People
in the hall, that's the small.
Yeah, in the hall, at the back of Dr. Singleton.
Yes.
people would line up looking at it in two minutes, and you could only go by invitation, by there, and you'd go and you'd sit down, and they had these locked drawers closed, and you'd keep the stick in there in anticipation. And often they'd be...
This is on Christmas Day?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think it was before Christmas Day. I'm not too sure.
Yeah, it's after Christmas Eve. Anyway,
I'll interrupt you girls. And then all of a sudden the doors would open and this magnificent Christmas tree would be there. And then you'd hear the, and Father Christmas would be there. And every one of us kids got a present.
Wow.
Everyone got a present.
No wonder you all want to go.
Oh, yeah.
And you're all kids there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that happened before we got to Fitzroy. I don't remember going back after we got to Fitzroy.
So what was the Fitzroy version of that?
No, that was magic.
Yeah.
Absolutely magic.
Was the tree lit up with love?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Best tree I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, everybody was poor that day, but there was a lot of fun for you.
Yeah, yeah.
So you didn't know you were poor.
No, no. You didn't talk about having a hard time.
No. After Dad lived, I never got belted a bit.
Did he used to belt you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And he belted your mum, presumably, did he?
Well,
yeah,
no, I only remember one fight that I woke up and I heard he'd had a very good temper. He could have been quite a successful businessman if he wasn't so devious. He never went back to Geelong. I don't know how true the stories are, you know. But it was a womaniser.
Yeah.
Did he know this
as a young...
Not as a youngster.
No.
But on reflection, on reflection, I'll tell you a funny story that happened after we were married. I was married. And the old man used to come and visit. I didn't know him then because I had the upper hand.
Yeah.
I wasn't a kid. And you'd like him for 5 or 10 minutes. You know, he was a great conversationist. And Matt liked talking to him, but he knew what he was. But I said, you can come, but don't ever bring a woman with you.
Yeah.
Anyhow, we lived in Argyle Street, and there was a bottle yard around. The old man worked in there. And this particular day I went to the butcher shop where Mario's is now, used to be a butcher shop.
Yeah.
And I just put my head and said, I'll be back in a minute. I said, but I want 14 stings or whatever. When I got back, he was talking to his mate. You know, someone's talking about you. And I knew exactly what they were talking about. And I was really make out of her, yeah. And I said, do you know who that bloke is? And they went, yeah. I said, no, you don't. I said, that man happens to be my father. And you should have seen the look on their faces. They thought I was one of his bloody women.
Oh, yes.
He was seen hopping on that fence.
Yes.
So I went and told Mum. I was telling Mum the story.
And she was not living there.
No, I was married.
Yes.
And Mum said to me, if you dislike him so much, Dorothy, why did you acknowledge him?
Yes.
I said, well, I should have been known as his fat-bag daughter and one of his bloody women.
Yeah,
that's getting away from it.
Yes.
You scared me.
So when you were a teenager, he just wasn't around.
When we were in Geelong, I've got that scar through him. And I could show you my arm. See my arm.
Yes.
He was quickly spitting on. Can you see the shape of it?
Yes.
He did that.
So he busted your elbow,
didn't he?
Yeah.
And Ronnie, my eldest brother, it's only us three big ones, you know.
Yeah.
The old man used to sit at the table like this, and he didn't spin at the table. And I don't know what Ronnie did. The old man just leaned back like that. There was a razor strap.
Behind him at the table?
Yeah. He just leaned back in his chair.
Yeah.
I don't know. And the buckling caused Ronnie here. Yeah. And Ronnie had that scar the day he died.
Yeah, couldn't take his eye out.
Strange me. And I can remember Ronnie when he came. The old man came to visit one day, and I happened to be in the backyard. I happened to hear it. And Ronnie walked in, and for some reason the old man must have been at the door. And Ronnie said, just remember, I'm not a bloody kid any longer. And I can still see.
Yeah. Well, no wonder he cleared off.
Yeah.
The family,
didn't he? Strange me. Never mind. Yeah. We had a good mother.
You did have a good mother. And you had good friends, you had good pals. Did you start with your boyfriends quite early?
I was very
innocent.
Not innocent, no. I had no confidence because We now live in Argyle Street.
And you were going to work?
No, I was still at school.
Yeah.
And I was walking down the stairs as the old man walked in. He'd walk in as though he owned the bloody joint. Strangely, you know, because the house was never locked, he didn't have to ring a bell. I'm walking down the stairs and he looked up at me and he said, you know what, I cannot believe you're my daughter. He said, you're not pretty enough.
Oh, yeah.
Never mind. I never got over it. Because he was a good looking boy.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyhow. That's, you know, I never had any confidence after that. It took me a long time to get over that. Actually, I don't think I ever got over it.
No, you don't. You don't get over that sort of stuff.
I don't
get
over
things like that. No, of course you don't.
Yeah.
Is your mum a good looking woman like you are?
I'm not good looking.
You are, Doc. You are. You certainly are. You're the most striking looking woman, marvellous looking. Your mum, what did she look like?
Me.
She looked like you, well there you go.
I look like mum.
Yeah, yeah. So he'd be getting at you through...
But see, I had prominent teeth, and I was fully convinced it was my teeth.
That he was really talking about?
No, it made me ugly. So when I was 16, I had them out.
You had them out?
Yeah.
Where did you go to have them out?
Well, down there. I can still, when I come home.
Was it a mental hospital?
No, I wouldn't do it.
No.
I talked him into it. I said, if you don't get somebody else, well, I'll go to a backyard place. It took the first 4 hours. I come home with no teeth. Mum was on the floor doing something on the floor. She sat down and she said, oh, Dorothy, what have you done? Best move I ever made.
Because you felt confident?
Yes.
You got good looking false teeth immediately or what?
No, oh no.
You had a great bleeding, yeah?
Yeah, four teeth missing. The full problem was
not four.
Not a decayed tooth in my head.
No,
I don't regret
it. No, please for saying
that. I don't regret it.
Did kids not have bands?
No, everyone's got, I'm the only one that had prominent teeth.
Yeah, but in Fitzroy, did kids get bands in those days?
No, who could afford them?
They cost money, yeah.
Who could afford them?
Middle class got bands, but not you guys, yeah.
I mean, I've been talking to people since, where they can have, and cut the teeth weren't prominent.
Yeah.
My gums are prominent.
Yes.
The teeth were perfect. Anyhow, I got four first. And then when I got the four, they told me, I've got long gum, short lip and no suction. I thought, oh, bloody lovely. Put them in there, they'd
probably. Yeah.
So, but the
wire... Don't regret it,
wire around here, not at the others. When I had the whole lot taken out.
Yeah.
And I can't.
So you went off to work with teeth that you were pleased with. And gradually got more confidence.
Yeah.
We're getting around the boyfriend. Did you have boyfriends
then? Yeah, a couple. I was funny.
Yeah.
You know, it,
and of course... Maybe you were choosy.
Yeah, very. Yeah. But I had a brother, Ronnie, that used to tell me things.
Well, he'd tell you about boys.
What not to do.
Right. Yeah. So he was looking after
you. Oh, yeah, I can remember. Actually, this is a good story. I won't mention his name because he's well known. I got off the tram, he got off the bus and one or the other. I knew who he was, he just leaned down the bus. And we got to chatting, you know. As we turned into Argyle Street, it was just about like, he pushes me up against the wall. And Ronnie always said, looks like being in trouble, darling, just back up so you're going to be in it and just raise your right leg.
Raise your right leg. Yeah.
Did that. Yeah. So I got a whack. Yeah. Nothing happened to me.
Yeah.
So I was fine. Many years later, I had a function, because he name came up, and I said, I'll tell you a story about him, and this person looked at me, and she went, oh, Dorothy, I don't wish that hadn't been me.
Tell me the story of that date you were on that you told Michael and Nolene, that was really funny, when you went to look down on Argyle Street from the flats that had been built. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
You told a story about going out with a boy you quite liked and you...
That was him. I didn't like him, but that was him.
Okay, well I've got the story wrong.
Well, there's another one then.
There's another one where you were having a cuddle, I think,
That was Matt.
Okay, tell me that story.
Oh,
we're going to end this because we're going to end with you.
Oh, yes.
For now.
We went to the Adelphi Theatre.
Right.
And we're coming home. Someday would be an NGN show.
Yes.
We only would be.
Yes.
And you're coming home and he hadn't checked, and the door opened, and he was back, and oh, you know.
You really hit the door,
a door opened, we go through, and there's a bit like this bench, and it had things where the chairs are.
It was a factory.
It was a small factory, and they had things. Like that?
Yes.
And it had a balloon over it. Well, what in the hell? That was freaking
out. So it was a condom factory.
Yeah.
A Fitzroy condom factory.
And next year, I think we better go.
Nothing.
So how old were you then,
though?
17.
Yeah.
I married him at 19.
Yeah.
And you started going out with him when you were 17? Yeah.
He was a local boy?
Yeah, he lived in 77 Argyle Street. I lived in 149.
Yeah. And you never met him?
No, my bedroom was upstairs.
Yeah.
I read a lot.
Yeah.
I loved to read.
Yeah.
Malcolm had a motorbike, and Malcolm used to fix things. And Mac had a motorbike. And they all used to, because we had a lane, and Malcolm had his shed. And they all used to come. There'd be a dozen boats. And nice boats.
Yeah.
Malcolm had a Triumph. Mac had a BS something, a gold flash. And I used to listen to them. I'd hear them and I'd think, but I said to Mum one day, I said, you know, Mum, out of all of Malcolm's friends, there's only one decent bloke. It's that Mac. I thought his name was Mac.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was Bill. His name was Bill.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Macca. And one day I was on a tram.
And why did you think he was decent? Because of the way he talked to them?
He didn't...
You could hear them through your bedroom where you were reading.
Yeah, I could hear them. He never spoke dirty.
No.
And all the rest of it. The others did.
Yeah.
He just didn't join into that.
Yeah, yeah.
Or anything. And not that he was a goody two shoes, but there was something about him. You know, there really was.
And did he come, did your brother bring him home?
I got on the tram to come home, and I'd been in town for some reason, was still coming, and this thing I know, he's sitting next to me. He'd seen me. He was on the tram too.
Yeah.
We got talking.
Yeah.
And then he said, look, would you like to come out one night?
Yeah.
And I thought, why not?
Yeah.
You know? And but then I got the shut on my life when I found out who his sister was.
Why?
Oh, well, she had a bad name. Not as a player. I mean, she was a drunk and a bully, and she's about to meet me. I didn't know it the time, but she's to bail his mother, and that Mac used to many a time have to stop that fight.
Yeah, yeah. And wasn't his mother living on her own as well?
No, it comes from a family.
Yeah.
Stone's family too, yeah. But Mac was the only decent one in that family. And we'd been out with him, and we nearly wore gloves in those days, and I must have taken my gloves off for some reason. Then I wanted to go to church the next day, I've got no gloves. So Mum said, you just have to go and get them. And which I did, and she answered the door. I come home and I said, Mum, you'll never get to his sister is. I said, I'll never go out with him again. And she said, well, who's your sister? I said, that Jeannie from the buses. And
from the buses?
Yeah, she's a conductor.
Yeah, yeah.
Conductor. Mum said, oh, really? She said, well, he's always been very nice, Dorothy. You shouldn't judge him by his sister, you know. And I said, took me a while. And I went to a funeral. Well, this is many, many years later. I'm sitting there, and we're listening, and Mac looks at me, I looked at him, and said, are we in the right place?
Didn't sound like her at all.
No, we're the right place.
I think we'll stop. That was wonderful.
There's a shop in Johnson Street, just around the corner from the Pier Street on this side. We used to go in there and half a dozen kids would be children and black behind the counter, didn't mind. It was like a little clubhouse type of thing.
What was the shop?
It was a lolly shop. Ice cream and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And we just come back from being down Geelong at the creek, and we're all talking, had a good time, and my sister came in. And they said, did you go down to the creek too, Lily? And she said, no, I went to Tasmania. And I said, oh, lovely, how'd you go, by boat or by plane? She said, I went by train.
Yeah.
She used to hang on the truth right at here to see Lily. And she just wanted to prove she was different. Yeah, she went by train.
Better than the rest of you, yeah.
Oh, well, she did.
Yeah.
Yeah, God, they've cracked everybody up, and she couldn't understand why at the time. I said, Lillian, it's an island.
She paid you for that.
Oh.
I would think she did. Right. He came from Werribee.
I don't know, actually. I know that she came from Werribee. How they met, I don't know. I don't know. I didn't know the family, even though they lived in 77 Argyle Street. We lived in 149. I didn't know them because of
there's a kid. Now, you said last time that you hadn't met him.
No, I never met him. Yeah. Because I didn't go to school in Fitzroy, you know.
Yeah,
and he did. And he did. Yes. He grew up, he was born in Fitzroy and died in Fitzroy. And anyhow, my brother, Malcolm, he was the second, he's younger than I am, by 12 months. Malcolm had a motorbike and Mac had a motorbike. And there was about five of them mates in Fitzroy. And they all met down our lane. And my bedroom was upstairs above the lane, you know, and I used to be up there reading the book. I read a lot. And I sort of, you couldn't help but hear them. And one day I said to Mum, there's only one decent bloke amongst all Malcolm's mates, and that's that one called Max. Anyhow, that was fine. I didn't know that he liked me. I found out later that apparently he went and waited over two boyfriends for me. But they came, that's courageous, you know, he can talk. I was coming home from the city one day and he was on the same train. And he came up and sat next to me and we got talking, got off the train and he was walking down Brunswick Street to Argyle Street. And he said, look, can I, would you come to pictures with me? And I always thought he was a decent bloke, so I said, yeah.
And where were the pictures? Where was the
region.
The region.
The one where there used to be the Taddy Theatre on one stage.
Yes, yes.
And now it's all offices.
Yes.
Yeah. But, oh, the Regent Theatre was a great theatre.
It was
theater.
A great
centre
of everything.
Oh, it was a really good theatre. Mm-hmm. To enter the pictures, and it just developed, mm-hmm. you know. But I did get a shock when I found out who his sister was.
Oh, you talked about her last time.
Oh, yeah, Jeannie. When I had to go up, I took my gloves off for something, and he must have put them in his pocket, and I needed them to go to church this Sunday, and Mum said, well, I had to go up and ask for them. So I did, and I come, and she answered the door, and it fell over. Anyhow, Mum, I went back, and I said, you never know who his sister was, is. And Mum says, hello. I said, you know that Jeannie on the buses? Mum said, oh, well, Dorothy, he's a nice bloke.
Yeah, she could
skip it. Yeah, she did. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, but the problem we had,
Max Roman had this. Ah, right.
I'm Church of England.
Yes, yes. And you went off to, you were going to St Mark's up here.
No. We considered Mark's as a low church. Mm. We were high.
Right.
We were high.
Where were you going down to?
No, St Mary's up here in Fitzroy Street.
Yes, yes.
Or St Peter's, one of the others. And, but I said to Mac, we're pretty serious by now. I said, well, I'm the churchgoer in this relationship. If we get married, it'll be in my church. And if we have kids, they'll be Church of England. The end of discussion.
Yes.
Not a problem.
Yes, yes.
Mac and I had many fights, but not one on religion.
No. So you bring the kids up in the way you want to.
But
when did you get married? Tell me about that. Tell me about married.
Yes. It was a nice wedding.
Yeah.
Two bridesmaids.
And who were your bridesmaids? Friends or family?
My sister.
Yeah.
She was Nathan Ryan. And two nieces, Claudia and Judith. And Judith had a very bad accident up in Dandenong. She still had care. And Claudia, we know where Claudia is now. That's a long time ago.
And did you get married in the fall waterfall?
Oh, yes.
Tell me about that. Who made
your
dress?
It was bought.
Yes.
Bought in town at a small place in Little Corinth Street. The girls wore blue. I'll show you a photograph. When we had a nice reception. Oh, we had the reception home.
Yeah.
Because that's all we could afford. But Mum did a good job on that. And it was, you know, nice week.
So she did all the cooking. And
Yeah. And family bought stuff, you know, whatever. Yeah. Such a long time ago. It was a good day.
What year was it?
1949.
Right.
We went up to Bendigo for the honeymoon.
Yes.
We got on the train and stayed at the Shamrock Hotel.
Yeah, yeah.
Thought I was Queen Mary.
Yeah, just
walked around the city.
Yeah.
We weren't party kids because we didn't know any better, you know, and we were too young when you think about it.
How old were you when you married?
19.
Yes, that's very young. And how old is Max?
Just on 20.
He's
9 months younger than I am.
Right, gosh.
It was a struggle because he said to me, marry me, what doctor, one day you're going to take George. I knew that.
Who was George?
Georgie was his nephew.
Okay, right.
he was a piece of, Georgie was a product of his sister and an American soldier.
Right.
That couldn't happen today, but Kathy was only about, I believe, from what I was told I wasn't there at the time, 16 when she had children.
And the family brought him up.
Yeah, and Mrs. Mack and Mack brought him home from hospital, which she couldn't do today.
No,
they did.
And where was she?
I have no idea.
No, her mother didn't want him.
No,
she couldn't go.
And there was no support, and parents hid the shush and so-called shame, you know. In those days, and
so that's who it was, on the daughter's baby. Whose baby did they say George was?
Oh, they always over and about that. But Mrs. Mack said to Mack that you have to always look after Georgie. And when Georgie died, that's why Mack took it so hard, is the fact that he always felt he broke that his mother's promise down, you know.
Yes.
It's a terrible tragedy. And I always knew that, but I didn't know I was going to get him so soon.
Now, when did you get him?
Oh, when he was five.
About
five.
Tell me about him.
Well, he was a lovely little kid. And I was married 4 years before Georgie come along. And I honestly thought we'd have trouble with Georgie. His name was John.
Yes.
Georgie.
Yes.
I don't know where Georgie comes from. I've never found that.
But so he was five when Holm was born.
Yeah. There's 9 years difference between them.
Yeah.
And he was nine when Colin was born. I knew of him from since he was five.
Yeah.
You know, I get confused with dates with Georgie, to be honest. And anyhow, I
didn't see a lot of him when he was very little. When he was five.
No, when we were recording, I didn't see a lot of Georgie. It was only when we sort of got serious that I was talking, I knew. You know, and it's a good kid, and I thought we were going to have trouble. From the word go, he idolised Colin.
Yeah.
He really did. There was a shop 2 doors on the corner of Argyle and Johnston's, Brunswick Street. He used to sell toys, and Georgie used to save up his pocket money and buy a toy and bring it home and give it to Colin.
So he loved the baby.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'd come home from work when Georgie was getting a bit older, and he'd say, I've cleaned your windows. And I'll tell you that story too. So is that worth $10?
Yeah.
I say, yeah, that's all.
Was this the house you're now in?
No. 77. If you walked out my back gate and keep going, drive off, keep walking the front door. Georgie came to me one day and he said to me, Auntie, he used to call me Auntie Dot. He said, Auntie Dot, he said, you're actually like my mother, aren't you? I said, actually I am, George. He said, yeah. He said, can I call you Mum from now on?
Yeah.
I said, I'd love that.
Yeah. And he was how old when he said that?
Oh.
No, you don't know.
No, I don't know. I'd say 12?
Yeah.
13?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And then a couple of years later than that, he came to me and he said, why is it that I'm not allowed to go to such and such a company or what it was? I said, well, Georgie, it's the Church of England thing and you're Roman Catholic.
Oh, he was Roman Catholic.
Yeah, he's Christian Roman Catholic.
Yes.
He said, well, I want to be the same as you and Colin. I said, well, it's not that easy, George, not that easy. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, you've got to go to lessons. Okay, so he did. And Georgie died at Church of England boy.
Hated
church.
Yeah, but he wanted to be part of your family.
He wanted to be part of Colin and me.
And Max too.
No, Max stayed Roman Catholic. Yeah, Max stayed Roman Catholic.
What do you look like?
I'll show you a photo.
Yeah, I'll see a photo. He was at the local school?
Oh, yes.
Which one?
George Street.
Yeah.
He wasn't well educated, mate. But a very good bloke, very honest bloke. I remember that he worked on the wharf. And my brother worked on the wharf.
There's a Mackie talking about that.
Malcolm Wilson, both of them worked on the wharf. And my brother used to come home with some stuff, knocked off, you know. And this particular day, he came over and just a lovely fur coat that Maureen had. And I said to Mac, how come you never bring me home anything like that? He said, I've got a wife and kid to look after. He said, I can't do anything else. He said, I'm not losing my job. And Mac was honest.
Yeah.
One of the few wharfies in those days that was honest, I think. And Mac was honest, you know.
And Doc, were you working at the time? You must have been working.
Yes, I always
worked. Always worked, yes.
Yeah, I worked in the food trade after I left school.
And then after you got married, you kept going in the same job? Or?
No, you thought I stayed there for a while. And then I left, and then it was after Georgie's death, no, before Georgie's death, I'm trying to think, because Georgie's death ruined a lot of things for us, and lots of things. My sister-in-law worked in the dry cleaning business, and she said, oh, I took time to go away to the boot trade, and I took time off and I was looking for another job. And my sister-in-law said, you know, why don't you just it? I said, hey, well, other people's dirty clothes, not on your nails. Now, and then here to come, long story short, I got talked into it, and I feel like I went through like a duck to water. I really did.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And anyhow, and then after Georgie's death, I was, you know, and I went to a bingo game for some reason. It's in the city, and I won. And there's a place that sold men's hats just near Splinter Street Station.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And with the winnings, I went and bought make a hat. The cat used to wear cats, I went and bought make a cat. Took it out and she thought it was too, wasn't in my size. So he took it back and there was a dry cleaner next door to it and he went past and did he recognise the woman in there? So he went in there to chat and he said, what's Doc doing? And he said, she's doing nothing. And she said, oh, and anyhow, that was fine, we got talking. And anyhow, then I get a phone call just after Christmas and it was her husband. And he rang up and he said, look, Don, he said, Stephanie has had a heart attack. She's in hospital.
Yeah, yeah.
She's got to start work today and there's no way, it was after the holiday, there's no way we can get in contact. She said, do us a favour, can you go and open up the shop?
God, yes, yes.
So I said, yes.
Yes.
So, and I said, well, how do I get in? I haven't got a key. He said, no, we'll go. He's told me where to go. Stand outside, the driver's will we go, he'll let you in, and then we'll take it from there. He said, there's nothing else I can do. He couldn't contact the owner, so I did that, and people went and worked out everything, and we went round across the driver, they'd just gone back and told the boss, and the next thing he's out, and he said, who are you? And I said, I don't want to be rude, but who are you? And he told me his name was Mr. Power, and I said, well, my name's Dr. Nathan Roy, blah, blah, blah. And he said, I've heard about you. And I stayed there for another 10 years.
Yeah, yeah.
But I moved around. Because I didn't want to. I moved from there to a hated Elizabeth Street. And then I went to Carlton. Oh, yeah, I loved it in Carlton.
Yeah.
Until I worked there until I was 58.
Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah.
But it's a good job for
her,
isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Good job for a woman.
So you were working and you had two boys that you were looking after, and you moved to this house about that time, or when?
We moved here after George's. Well,
yeah, go back to when George first started living with you, and then he sent you, he was going to school by then?
Yes, and then he went to the technical school, he was doing well.
Yeah, what was he doing? What sort of civil stuff?
Learning technical stuff, it wasn't academic.
Yeah.
He was working part-time in a garage, and then this particular night in...
when he was how old, Doc?
16.
Yeah.
At this school, he was going to, what was he going to do? I had a breakdown here. He was working at this garage, and yeah, this particular night, it was a Saturday night, he went to this police boys club.
In whereabouts was that?
In Collingwood, in Hollis Street.
Oh, in Hollis Street, yes.
And anyhow, now we're in bed, about 11 o'clock, and the Max said to me, it's about time that little bugger's home, isn't it? And I said,
how old was he?
Just on 16.
Yeah.
I said, I'll give him a go, it's Saturday night, and all of a sudden there was a light went across the house. A torchlight, and you know, and then he's very quiet, chill you to the bone, really do, it's just leaving. Georgie had, was walking home, Georgie, it came, look, I've seen the whole thing, I bought Georgie a suit, and Georgie hated wearing suits. So Mum lived, we lived in 77, Mum lived in 149, Georgie used to leave home in the suit, go to Mum's place, take the jacket off and go off, go on the way home, pick up the jacket, who's the boy, everybody's here. Right, so Georgie's got a dark pair of pants on and a white shirt. And he gets to the corner of Cobble Street and Johnson Street and he spokes down the other way and Georgie can't find his fare home for some reason. He just couldn't find it and so he walked.
Yeah.
Had he found his fare was in the corner of his hanky because we found it later by the police. And as he's walking up Johnson Street, this fella...
It was Johnson Street.
Yeah, corner of Johnson and Wellington Street. He's walking up. This fella, if you go slowly, walk across the road from the Collingwood Tech was a milk bar. And apparently during the day, this couple of Australian kids in this Yugoslav old Grayson, blah, blah, blah. And it'd be going on for hours apparently, from what we found out later.
They've been
typing him up. Yeah, somewhere. He goes home and comes back with a knife, apparently. And they don't know he's got a knife. But they know. apparently this time the Australian, I pushed the Yugoslav till he fell on the ground and out. He went up Johnson Street to Smith Street, along Smith Street to Otto Street and down Otto Street when he heard George scream. George is coming up Johnson Street, he's hiding in the corner, sees somebody in a white shirt and dark clothes and take it to be without the key. Then came out and stabbed him 8 times. Case of complete mistake, and that was proven, I can show you. Complete thing.
Mistaken identity.
Yeah.
So there he was in Johnson Street, and you were the cops came and found you.
By then he was taken to the hospital. We all went up to the hospital. And the police, the surgeon came out and said, he should be dead. He said, I don't know why he isn't. He's there with his computer on his side. And he said, now, I'm telling you now, we had to, he said, go home. He said, you can't stay here. He told us what different he made. And we know that he got home. Nobody had a telephone. And they can go, O'Brien in the corner. We were all just sitting there.
What about
O'Brien's used to be a mixed business.
Right, so they didn't take phone calls.
Georgie was dead. I can still see Cobb standing over George Cobb's old, you know. He said, it should have poisoned me and I've had my life. But it ruined me. Colin was never the same. Mac was never the same.
How could you be? How could you all be?
And we got no support of anybody.
No.
I found out later, since I had a go at a couple of my relatives about it. And you know what one said to me? Nobody was worried about you, Dorothy. You were always so capable.
So they were worried about who?
Me? Nobody. I fix the family because I'm capable.
Yes.
That's not an excuse.
So the hospital offered you
no support? No, not really.
Nothing.
No.
What about the church?
Well, Colin went from this is another story I'll never forget. Colin was in 62. Colin was born in...
He was 62.
It was happening in 1962.
Yes.
And anyhow, Colin turned from... He went from a sweet little boy to kick you and there, you know. And anyhow, Mum suggested I take him up to see Sister Dorothy. And she said to me, Dorothy, I don't want you to interfere in anything. Just sit there. Well, she started talking about Roy Rogers, hop along quickly. I thought, what a load of rubbish. She was trying to work out whether he knew the difference between fair digging people and imaginary people. They shoot one another and it's not fair digging and all that rubbish. And then she said to him, I can't remember everything that was said, but I do remember this. Colin was sitting on a little stool. It's a little thing.
Age 4, 9 or something.
And she said, now you've got to remember, Colin, that the man that killed Georgie didn't hate Georgie, but he didn't know Georgie. So he didn't hate him.
Yeah.
God is not like that. God's there to love you and hate her. Help you all the time, and call the son, and Colin stood up and looked at him and said, sister, if God loves everybody, where was he when my brother needed help? And walked out and never went to church again. How could you?
And did you walk out too?
Yes, I went after him, lost all my faith, and I suppose I could have gone to them and asked for help, but I kind of suffered.
And what about the school?
Oh, Colin never was the same. No help. They just let you get on with it. People were too frightened to approach it. They were too frightened to do anything. Whether they was touched with the stigma of a murder, I don't know. I've often wondered about it.
So friends in the street?
Well, you see, my couple of decent friends were there, but they didn't know what to do. They couldn't help. Mac went through hell, and he went violent.
Did he?
Meaning
that he wanted to go and find the bloke and kill him?
He was caught outside there with a shotgun.
Really, not surprising if you
do
like that.
Mac would have killed him if he got him. He'd have got a shotgun. I don't know where he got the shotgun from.
And was the guy was caught and charged? What happened?
They found a guy next to the following Sunday, Saturday night. They knew where to look. They knew it. That fella was people knew of him up and down Smith Street, apparently. I've never known him. He was in and out of institutes in Yugoslavia. So how did he get into the foreign country in the first place? I don't know. And while he was here, he was in and out. he escaped from the Ararat Mental Institution.
Yeah.
But apparently back in those days, if you escaped and stayed at large for 3 months, you were automatically discharged.
Oh.
That's not the law today.
No, no.
But that was the law. Because I thought, if they're capable of looking after themselves, they're fine.
Yes.
That's probably how the police knew of him. They knew where to find him.
Yes.
And they found him up in this cafe up in Purchase
Street. Yeah, there were US style cafes up there.
And anyhow, he couldn't be charged, he couldn't go to trial because he was declared insane. The police have still got all George's clothes.
Still got.
Yeah, I've never got rid of them back. That's why I never give shoes. I bought George a new pair of shoes not long before. And I'll never give shoes for as a present. I pair of shoes for a love and want to walk away from the other. But anyhow, about 5 years after George's death, we got a notification. He'd been declared insane and he had to stand trial. And so up to the Supreme Court we go.
Did you?
Yeah. And we're standing there. And
well, did they want you to give evidence?
I don't know what they wanted us to do, to be honest with you. We're standing there and I'll tell you, there's a lot of women there. It reminded me, they were all standing there. We're all in this like a corridor thing, waiting for something, I don't know. And anyhow, so we might have never seen that movie of the French Revolution when they were all sitting there knitting like in India. Because they reminded me of it, I'm like, then all of a sudden I froze. I saw over there this little weed of a bloke standing between two big fellas. And I said to Matt, that's him, and that's him. And you know, I said, I don't know who I knew. I said, that's him. And then he had the police, there were two police with this little weedish little bloke. And they all walked in past. We were waiting outside, the next thing we knew, the judge had declared 50 litres in. That's the words they use, not mine. A detective came out and said, sorry, Mrs. McEnroy, but he's 50 litres again. And I heard no more. Not another word have we heard. And as far as I know, I've still got a murder trial hanging over my head. Because we've heard nothing.
Yes, nothing at all.
Colin couldn't get on with his life.
No.
Colin died an alcoholic.
No.
Matt was
so
never the
what,
same.
What happened to, was Georgie buried here? Was he buried in the church or where?
No, Georgie's buried in Faulkner.
Right. So you went through all that?
Actually, Georgie had a very good funeral. Well, good funeral. It was a big funeral. Up by this time, up at St. Mark's, and Mac went missing.
Your mother alive?
Yes. Mum died in 82.
Mac,
I remember the day, I was keen up at the Alfred of the Hotel Australia. I was a waitress then. That's one day, I forgot about that. I enjoyed waitressing too. I always like people like that. Mac disappeared for about an hour or so. And I don't know, he realised all these kids couldn't go to the cemetery, so he went and hired a bus. Georgie's buried, say there's here, there's a path here. So we Mac bought this block here. So we also bought this block, the one of it, because he couldn't buy the next one because there was a path there. And I wouldn't do it today, but if Georgie hadn't died it, and George was buried there. So when Mac Pop died, he's buried there. Mac and Colin's buried opposite. I call it Mac and Roy's Corner. And I'm going there too. George had a big funeral, to say.
So lots and lots of local people turned out to
that. Up at the church.
But then later you said it was very hard around the street.
People that should have known better. Probably when, in hindsight and thinking back, they probably didn't know what to say.
No.
So rather than not saying, when I needed comfort, but all I could see is that they don't want to talk to me.
But see coming in.
That's right.
Because
they didn't know what to do.
No.
And I can understand it now. Not then I couldn't. But it was, I said, mate, talking to this relative of mine. I said, none of us worried about you, Dorothy. We knew you were capable.
Yeah.
I need it.
Yes, of course you did, Colin. And Colin, he went straight to school, or what happened?
No, we sent him away, away from wrong things. I sent him up.
So this was going after
the... I sent Colin to a scan, a boy scout camp, up in the Dandenongs of the other place there, And then when Joe said he wouldn't be there, that that was a bad move. Colin needed to be there, but I didn't know that. Then my mother took him, had him, and this particular day I said to Matt, I think we'd better go and get that little fella. And it was a nice time at school. I thought, I'm going to get him now. I need to have him home now.
Yeah.
So I went up to school, I couldn't find him. And I went into the teacher and he said, he's out in the playground somewhere. I found him in the corner of the bed. I think it's that little side street between Johnson Street and the school. There's a little, I think it's Chapel Street, I'm not sure. I went there and he was up in the corner crying. And now he said to me, he said, Mummy, George is gone. Do I have to go too?
Oh, God.
I've never figured that as well as the rest.
So you brought him home?
Yeah. And he's seriously, his mum had him in Raymond's clothes, clean, but too big for him. He looked kind of looking like, oh, honey, George is gone, Mummy, do I have to go too? But he was never the same, never the same.
Did he talk about it, or did he clam up too?
That's why, we were told, you don't talk about these things. And both of those folks needed to talk about it. So did I, actually.
Of course, yeah.
But I said I had a few friends that I did open up, but I must tell you this, though. This is true. When I was in the Hotel Australia, they have, she was a travel agent in the office over there, up on the mezzanine floor or something. And we had to give her a cup of tea. So we're all on the line, I inherited her. So I'm one of these people, I've got it. Get her over and done that, right? And I must have been taken up her cup of tea to her. She's still the service she might have. Hotel Australia, for about 18 months. Fine. After the accident, they took up a collection for me. One of the girls went in and asked her. You know what she said? Well, I didn't know her very well. Anyway, when I went back to work and I was off 3 months. I thought I asked, could I have any holiday pay or something like that? And I was told that you've been paid for the whole time. So that was very nice. And I went this day, I went to get this woman's tea. And this other waitress, oh, no, tea is up in Dorothy. And I said, what? She said, that's what she said.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, I'm right.
Yeah,
I didn't know her very well.
No.
And that was the action of a lot of people. Maybe not those words, but the action, because they couldn't hear her. I've heard that one, should have known better.
God, a terrible, terrible, terrible time.
I've still got the papers, newspapers at the time.
I was going to ask you, the papers would be full of it, of course.
And actually, and misreported, there was one reporter was very hard to hear all the time about a brawl in on the corner involving a brawl, blah, blah, blah. And anyhow, Owen, one of the nephews that was staying with us, he went into 3AW, I think it was 3AW, and told them that what they're saying didn't happen. Well, the rest of it, and how distressing it was. And they made an apology.
Yeah,
something I wouldn't want to live through again.
No.
I don't think I could, to be honest with you. I really don't. And ruined. People don't understand they've got sympathy for these kids. They don't just kill a person. It's a whole family. Pop was never the same. He was devastated. Matt was never the same man. Colin ended up being with him. See, George is gone. But Colin ended up one of the two victims. His life was finished.
What happened to Colin?
Well, he just couldn't handle anything and died of alcohol.
Stayed at school.
And he couldn't look. Colin really was a smart kid. I'm not just saying Colin was a good kid that gave up. Crosswords, Colin could do them like that. There's a test of that. One of my nephews had a transport business, and they used to have a table of different things, and they had these crosswords. And they weren't allowed to be thrown out, and people would come in with the hard ones, and they'd do them. And they thought Colin was a fool because he was always drunk. They just didn't know anything about Colin. They said he was a complete fool. And this day, Colin went down, and Keith wasn't there, he was out somewhere. And Colin just sat down, and he's nothing to do, so he picked it up and went, this bloke's looking at him, and they thought he was being smart. And then they said, don't do that, you'll ruin it. Colin said, no. And did a lot less. They couldn't believe it.
How did he become an alcoholic?
Because he did get cross. You know what? I never saw Colin drink home.
No.
He went out.
Yeah.
Whether he couldn't come home, I don't know.
Yeah.
And the GP decided that him and Robert went their separate ways when they were about 16.
Talking about Robert. Shall we stop for a minute and I'll make another cup of tea?
Yeah, you're fine.
So you're talking about
Robert and Colin went to the same school. His mother lived in Fitzroy, his grandfather lived in the Pier Street for years, you know, and they lived up at the Fleet Street flats. They lived down in a dozen different places, actually. Anyhow, Robert and Colin got on extremely well.
They're in the same grade at school.
And this particular day, Robert came home with Colin. The next day, he came home with Colin. And the next day, he came home with Colin. Every time I turned around, there was Robert. And then he's in and out of our lives. He started living with us when he was 16. Then he left. I had to come to go. And that's another story. I played him. Colin, I just found out Colin was drinking.
Right.
And Mac and I'll give Robert his two here.
Robert knew that Colin was drinking.
Yeah, but he's a cold ass.
Yeah.
He heard us talking in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And he came out and confronted us. I thought Robert was an instigator of Colin drinking, and one thing led to another, and Robert left. He tells me, always said, you threw me out. I said, well, it's either you or Colin. But it kept coming back. He actually idolised Mac. Mac was the first adult that ever sort of took notice of Robert.
So he had a fairly difficult family.
Oh, Robert had a dreadful upbringing. Yeah. Right. That's Robert's story to tell right now.
Yes, of course. But he came to you because he built a household.
That's right. And and any issues that we had, Robert never saw. Funny thing about the way we grew up, we'd be having a blue, but if somebody knocked on the front door, you'd never know about it.
No.
You'd come in and have a cup of tea, and the fight would go on after you left, not while you were there.
No.
And then Robert never saw any of it. And anyhow, Robert then would go away and come back, stay for a while, go away and come back. But he was always there, and he was always there to pick up Colin, a great friend to Colin, and a great friend to Mac. In the end, he started out being Colin's best friend, and then he ended up being Mac's best friend, and would you believe he's now my best friend.
Wonderful.
Great. He's there, he's coming in every day, and you've seen him.
Yeah.
Every day, he said that I'm all right.
Because
apparently he didn't find his grandma, apparently. His grandmother, and he talks about his grandparents a lot, Robert. They're about his stability he had in his childhood early, was his grandparents. But he preferred to come to us. Strange that. Maybe we were younger, I don't know. And
having Colin too, because I have a brother.
His grandmother was on the floor for 3 days, apparently. She had collapsed, and they, because the father, I don't know how it happened, and nobody saw her. And so I'm not going to be on the floor for 3 days.
He will make sure you're not.
Well, he walked kissing today, and it started raining, and I've done some washing, and I put the, I won't hang them on the line, I'll put them in the dryer. And he said to me, did you check it, that there's no dust in there, you know, the filter, did you look at the filter? I cleaned it when I took it out. So in he goes, pulls the filter out, and he says, look, this could cause a fire, and he cleaned it all out, just automatic, he does, you know. And actually, when I was sick, as you know, he was there. No, he's a great friend, you know. Yeah, poor Robert.
So, Doc, when did you move into the house you're now living in? Was that after Georgie's?
Oh,
house?
Yes. Yeah, got to the stage I couldn't live in that house, and there was either that or so. Mac bought this. Let's move.
Yeah.
Got away from everything.
Yeah. And you have your own house. You bought a studio.
Yeah.
What year was that when you came to Greece? Oh,
when we came to Greece, late 60s, early 70s.
Yes.
And it was a great street back then. It was like a little village.
Yeah, everyone knew each other.
Did anyone ever talk about George Rouse?
George
Rouse?
Yes, I knew a bit about George Rouse.
Oh, God, he lived in a school. What a character.
Yeah, little characters in every house.
Oh, well, there would be Mary Donaldson. She's the only one that could watch the front and the back at the same time. The kids hated her. And then the Royals next door, and then there was us, and then the Rouse, then by Abraham's, and then in that other one, there was an English lady who lived there.
Which other one?
Next to Peter.
Yeah.
Mac did a lot of work, but she fancied Mac. Not in a bad way, but she really did fancy Mac. You know, and she had a, she invited us out there all night, so, you know, and she, what was her name? Strange lady. And then there was Madge, who lived in Peter's house. Craig's always lived over there, and then there was two lots of people before, what's his name, Dalaru, but more this side, of the Potters.
Yes.
The Potters were strange.
And the Brunswick Street, this end of Brunswick Street, was full of the interesting
family. Oh, gosh, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
You could shoot a kitten on a Sunday, and you wouldn't hear anybody. Everything closed.
Yeah.
So day at 1 o'clock, bang, you know. But the Italians and the Greeks, they did a lot for Australia.
Yeah, they sure did, and for this area.
Yeah, they did.
And they've been moving in the 60s, 50s, 60s, so there were a lot of Italian Greek families around here.
Mac went to school with Nick's father.
Oh, right. And Nick was?
Nick was born here, and his father was born here, but his mother wasn't, you know.
I remember his old mum.
Mm, so do I. Mrs. Mac, you go too far. because the kids, you know, somebody has to, you know. But, the only one I never really got on with, not that I didn't get on with, no, she never came to me, was Cherie. You're the other kid. I can remember Nick sitting there talking to me when he was going out with this Greek girl, but he fancied Joseph, and he wanted to know what to do. I said, you know, and his father had already died, and, you know.
So you were giving him advice?
Yeah,
Fitzroy generally has been good for you, hasn't it?
Fitzroy has been very good for me. I have four brothers and a sister. Every one of them moved away, bar me, and I was the only one that didn't want to come here in the first place. But, I like Fitzroy.
And moving from Argyle Street to here was a big move, really, wasn't it?
It was. But I couldn't get out of it quick enough.
No, of course, yeah.
Yeah, I could not get out of it quick enough.
They're like little villages in areas of Fitzroy.
But you actually, where you worked, you didn't have neighbours.
No.
We had a Greek family next door, there, and they had them. I reckon they had shifts in the bed. You know, one would get out, somebody else would get in. But there was factory next to us and factories across the road. There was houses in Fitzroy Street. Next to us, we were nothing. We were on our own.
Yeah.
And maybe that had something to do
with your feeling of being very isolated.
Kind of thing I never thought about it until now. That probably had a lot to do with it.
And your mum, when you moved here, where was your mother living? When you were...
149 Argyle
Street. Oh, she stayed there.
She stayed there, but she went into... she came to me. She lived with me for 5 years before she moved into a nursing home. And Colin got out of his bed for my mum.
Did he?
And we put a shed in the backyard. But then mum needed to go to a nursing home. That caused a lot of trouble.
And was that a local nursing home?
In Woodlands, on the corner of... There's a church on the corner. What's the doctor? I shouldn't know. The name was there every day. It'll come to me. Getting old. My birthday, Saturday.
Yes, Saturday, or you've had it?
No,
next Saturday.
Right. 85. I gave mum an extra 5 years of quality life. She hated it when she first got there. She's running the place. Mum was a good organiser. Very at the moment, the place seems. Isn't that shocking? I've been there every day for so long. Mum died there. Every time I pass it going up Nicholson Street, I say, Hail Mary. And the name escapes me.
Was it a Catholic?
It was a Methodist, I think.
Yeah.
A Methodist. It was just built. It was at the time. I think it's closed down now for some reason. It was like a little village. It was very good. Mum was very happy in the end before she died of Parkinson, got her bed, you know, which is sad. You'd like my mum?
Yes. I'm sure I would. I'm sure there's a lot of you in her.
Well, I always said, if I could be like my mother, I'd be happy, but I'm not even 1/10. But, you know, funny thing, you get that off.